Over the past few weeks, because of things that have been in the media and articles I've read, one of the things that I've been led to reflect upon is, what does it mean to be a credible witness? What does it mean to be believed as one who is telling the truth? And I especially thought about that as I read our gospel reading for this morning, because there's no doubt that it is a story about credibility and about being believed. So I want you to think for a moment. Think of someone that you would describe as an individual that you believe is credible. Think about that person for a minute. So when you say someone is credible, when you look at this individual that you can picture in your mind, what does it mean that they're credible? What qualities do they have that make them credible? Reliability. Honesty. Integrity. Trustworthy. Consistent. Lots of ways that we can define that word, credible. And they're all appropriate descriptions. This is what I found when I looked it up. To be credible is being worthy of belief, of confidence, of they are trustworthy, reliable, honest, and accurate. Credibility is about discernment of the truth in a given situation or a given conversation. It's asking the question, is this person likely or possibly lying? Because if they are, then they're not reliable. They're not honest or accurate or trustworthy. And that would mean they lack in credibility. But if we think about it, sometimes judging credibility can be pretty subjective. It's about me looking at you and saying, do I believe you? Do I trust you? That can be pretty subjective. There are many examples in the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Easter stories of resurrection that speak to credibility. Let's start right off the bat with Jesus' arrest, the trial before Pilate. To some who were Jesus' followers, there was no doubt he was credible, even though they didn't understand or even appreciate everything that Jesus had taught them. But to those in authority, those who were threatened by his gaining momentum, he was anything but credible. And they would do anything to prove it. Think about it. To some people in his own time, Jesus wasn't credible. We move along in the story. And the second example would be our gospel for last Sunday, for Easter Sunday morning. The story of how the women went to the tomb. They experienced amazement and wonder. The tomb was empty. There was no body. And an angel told them, go and tell the others what you've seen and heard. That Jesus is risen. That Jesus is alive. And that's exactly what they did. They went and found the other disciples. And what happened when they told them what they had heard and seen? The disciples thought that it was an idle tale. They didn't believe a word of what the women said. It must have been fabricated. These women, they had no credibility in that moment, except maybe with Peter. These first witnesses to the resurrection, these women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, like Jesus, they weren't credible either. And then we come to our gospel reading for this morning. A third example. Jesus appeared to his disciples in a room. They weren't expecting him, but he appeared to them. And they had a transforming experience of a resurrection hope in that moment as they recognized him and as they believed in him. But who wasn't there? Thomas. And so a little bit later on, a couple of days later, the disciples were all back together in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. And they said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And what was Thomas's response? "I don't believe you. I can't believe you." In other words, "You have no credibility for me in this moment. It can't be so." And of course, he wouldn't believe until he saw with his own eyes and touched with his own hands. And there's another whole sermon there, but we won't go there today. Well, as I thought about these examples of these individuals, the disciples gathered together, speaking as one voice, not being credible. The women speaking as one voice, not being credible. Jesus himself not being regarded as credible. It led me to realize that I think there's a real issue of credibility today too. And it comes to the surface in a variety of ways. And as I reflected on that lack of credibility or perceived credibility, it also led me to realize that that leads to a lot of injustice and wrong. I want to share three examples. The first would be the Gomeshi trial. And regardless of what one might think of the verdict in the end, setting that aside, what I experienced out of that was it pointed out the tragic reality that very few women will come forward after being sexually abused. Something like less than 10% will file a complaint. Why? Because they don't think they'll be regarded as credible. There's doubt that they'll be telling the truth. They'll end up being the ones on trial. And of that total number of sexual abuse cases known, less than 3% end up with the perpetrator being convicted. Who can blame women for not wanting to go through that ordeal? And all because their credibility is in question. A second example. I had the privilege of attending a refugee hearing as a witness. And the claimant was making the refugee claim on the grounds of religious persecution. This individual had to prove her faith as a Christian to the adjudicator, to the one making the decision. And the sad part was that in the eyes of the adjudicator, this individual lacked credibility. She wasn't believable. She couldn't be trusted to be telling the truth on her own merit. She needed someone else to corroborate her story and her testimony, and that was me. Someone who supposedly had credibility. Someone the process could trust to tell the truth. A third example. A woman that I had actually never heard of. Surprising. It surprised me when I realized that. Marianne Francis. And I don't know how many of you know who she is. She was the first black lieutenant governor of the province of Nova Scotia. She's now not in office. And do you know what her experience is since she has been in office? She talks about going into certain stores and her experience of being stalked by sales staff. They think she might steal something. Her race makes her lack credibility in that instance. Her race makes it such that in that instance, she can't be trusted to be honest. Now, isn't there something wrong with that? These examples today are examples of where assumptions are made about credibility that lead to injustice. Today, they lead to victimizing. And when it comes right down to it, they're simply wrong. Well, what about you and I? We're called to be witnesses to the gospel. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus sends the disciples out. Well, you know what? Jesus sends us out too, to proclaim the good news of the gospel in our lives, in our relationships, at the places where we work, at the schools we attend, with our neighbors and friends, in the grocery store, driving along Yonge Street. We are called to proclaim the gospel by who we are and by how we live out our lives. I wonder, are we judged as credible? Do others believe what we offer as truth? Do we have the trust to inspire belief in others? 3 things that we need in order to be faithfully credible as followers of Jesus Christ. First, we have to believe it to be true ourselves. When have we experienced the power of the resurrected Christ ourselves? How did we feel? What was inspired in us? How did the risen Christ help us in a given moment, in a given situation? And can we not only recognize that, but also share it with other people? Second, we have to be willing to proclaim it in everything about who we are. Our resurrection faith needs to be integrated into the very essence of our being, not separated in this little spiritual box over here for Sunday mornings or Easter Sunday, but every single moment of every single day of our lives. That spiritual and faithful part of who we are needs to be at the core of who we are as individuals and who we become as community that is gathered together. We need to exude out of us always the joy and the delight with which we embrace our lives and the gift of our faith. And thirdly, how do we do that? Well, we live our lives in a way that reflects our resurrection hope. We see the gift of new life. We embrace each day and each opportunity that God blesses us with. And we are always open to the potential, even in the midst of a time of challenge. We need to always remember to live deliberately and to live genuinely out of that faith that is at the center of who we are, the gift, the hope, the promise of the resurrection. And when we in some way deny that, I believe we become less than who God created us and who God calls us to be. We trust each other even less. We question credibility even more. And then those 3 scenarios that I described before become just the tip of the iceberg and lead to more injustice and more wrong. There's a United Church minister. Her name is the Reverend Greta Vosper. And she has become renowned. She is a United Church minister in Scarborough. She has become renowned because she is very, very, very vocal and outspoken that she doesn't believe in the resurrection. And that no way impacts her ministry or her ability to be a minister in the church of God as a follower of Jesus Christ. She says that doesn't impact the church that she serves. Well, for me, there's a line in the sand. I may not understand the resurrection. In fact, I don't understand the resurrection. I can't tangibly prove it. But I believe it happened, and I believe it still happens today. And that has to be the truth at the heart of what you and I believe and the faith that we live out. That resurrection truth that transforms us in many ways that we can't even imagine, gives us hope where there would be despair, brings out light into the midst of darkness, it promotes justice in a world of injustice, It offers peace instead of violence. It brings healing into people's lives of brokenness. For me and for us together, our faith in the resurrection builds our credibility to take hold of a challenge, to take hold of that opportunity that is before us, to make a difference in one life, in 10 lives, in the life of a community or a country on the other side of the world. Because when we believe it to be true, God uses that to do things that we can't even begin to imagine. We're not the only ones who are transformed. And all by grace. By God's grace. So in this age when credibility is compromised, questioned, attacked, and denied, how credible are we when it comes to our faith? Do others judge our faith to be true? An integral part of who we are? Genuinely lived out in our lives? I wonder. Good questions to think about. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be sure that we are credible witnesses to the resurrection gospel that truly defines who we are. Amen.